the Vox Markets podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Time for an update from Pinnacle Silver and Gold. The company's been working away at its El Potrero project in Mexico. A recent release has expanded the project's scope somewhat. So here to tell us by how much and what it means, it's Bob Archer, the company's founder and CEO. Hello, Bob.
Hi, Alistair. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, fine. How are you?
Yeah, great. Thank you. Enjoying the summer.
So tell us about the recent update from El Potrero. You've been talking about the preparations for drilling, and then you've been able to expand the scope of the project a little bit during those preparations. Tell us more.
Well, what happened was that while our contractor was rehabilitating some of the known workings that we had been sampling, they discovered that there was another opening that had been sort of covered up by a little bit of a landslide, and they managed to reopen that and then rehabilitated, you know, those workings as well, which, you know, we hadn't really been aware of previously. And so then as we started the underground drilling program, you know, our geologists were able to go into these new workings and systematically channel sample those the same way that that we did with the you know, with the other workings. So in that way, it gave us additional information from underground, a lot of information actually. You know, we took about 150 samples through those new workings and discovered where the mineralization was in those workings. And then by positioning all of that in a three-dimensional model, it allowed us to project from the lower level, the main level, up to these new workings, which are about 35 meters higher and up dip. And then from there, continuing on up to surface. So it allowed us to connect what we knew from the main level with what we knew at surface, with a level almost halfway in between. So it really added a lot to our knowledge of the continuity of the mineralization. And I think from that standpoint, you know, it was very, very significant. And, you know, an interesting, exciting to see that, you know, we were getting some really nice grades in some of those samples as well. So, you know, up to 26 grams of gold and, you know, 511 grams silver. So, you know, some very, very nice grades. And interesting to see those silver grades come up a little bit from the main level, because it's above this. At surface, where we initially sampled over 2 kilos of silver in one spot. So, you know, this is all part of what we now believe is a continuous zone that's at least 85 meters, you know, vertically or up and down dip, and at least 30 meters long. So it gives us a much, much better understanding of the continent. Of the mineralization in that area.
So I'll ask the obvious question then, Bob, or perhaps it's a bit too obvious for a specialist like you, but this means that El Potrero is bigger than you thought it was.
I wouldn't necessarily say that it's bigger than we thought, Alistair, just that it sort of fills in a bit of a gap in our knowledge, you know, because we had sampled the main level and the sub level just above that at the Dos de Mayo mine. We haven't drilled that area yet as part of the underground program. We're still drilling at Pinos Cuates. So we didn't have any information between that level and surface. And so with this new information, it helps to close that gap, so to speak, and give us a lot more information. And so it's a little bit, if you think in terms of building a resource with drill holes, if your drill holes are really widely spaced, then your confidence level is lower, and the more you can fill in those gaps and drill at a closer spacing, then that's where you go from an inferred resource to an indicated and then to measured as you close that gap. And so it increases the confidence level. And so that's effectively what we've done without having to drill it. Just by sampling these new underground workings, we're able to fill in that gap between the main level and surface. So it's certainly increased, significantly increased our confidence level in that area.
And you spoke about grades a second ago. What do the grades in this new area sort of tell you about the wider possibilities of El Potrero?
Well, from what we've seen so far, the grades are still somewhat variable. We have certainly seen that we can get these bonanza grades in places. We've got this one now is 26 grams. We've had other samples at Pinos Cuartas that were 50 grams, 85 grams gold, that type of thing, and then, as I mentioned, up to 1-2 kilos of silver on surface. So the grades can be somewhat variable, and that's just the nature of the mineralization, and that's where we're getting a better understanding of that, and in the distribution. But as long as once you're mining it, you're taking all of that material, and as long as your average grade is coming back, at a level that you're expecting for the plant, and as long as it's consistent, from a metallurgical point of view, and keeping your recoveries consistent, then that's really what's important. So the grades that we're seeing now with this new sampling are consistent with what we've seen elsewhere. So that's great also. It's just further confirmation of our geological model, I guess you could say, in terms of our interpretation of this system.
Now, we've alluded to the drilling that's ongoing a couple of times in this chat, Bob. How is the drilling going?
It's coming along, Alistair. As I mentioned, we are still drilling at the Pinos Cuartas mine, which is the central of the three historic mines, and just a little bit to the northwest of the Dos de Mayo mine. And we did drill a few holes at the portal of Dos de Mayo early on in the program, just for logistical reasons while we were finishing up at Pinos Cuartas. But we have moved over to there, and we're drilling currently hole 49 out of that, the initial program that we had 108 holes planned. So we're pretty close to halfway through, and most of the holes, as I mentioned previously, are fairly short and closely spaced. We've had steady samples going out to the lab, and we are getting them back, but the turnaround time has increased recently, just I think because of the level of activity in Mexico, especially in Durango. I've seen photos from the reception area at the lab where they have just pallets and pallets and pallets of samples coming in from different projects, different companies. So they are extremely busy. So that has slowed down the results a little bit. And of course, with this type of program, because these holes are so closely spaced and we're working from underground, this is quite different from a surface program, where you're going to have holes at a certain spacing and probably right through the zone. You can get a certain type of information from those results. But with this underground program, it gives you a lot of data, much of which is closely spaced. So, it doesn't make a lot of sense for us to just put out a table of assay results from 49, 50 holes. Without providing some sort of context for that, the person looking at it would have no idea, what they're looking at. And, and some of those are probably going to be, a nice bonanza grades, like we've seen in the underground sampling. Others will be low grades, or maybe nothing at all if you're drilling at the edge of the vein, so it's going to vary considerably. So we need to bring that together and put it into a proper model. And then see how it all comes together. And because these holes are being drilled at different angles as well. And not just in a straight section line, but also off to one side or the other. And so they're cutting the vein and the mineralization at different angles. And so we then have to recalculate what the true width might be of that particular intersection. So there are a lot of things that go into this, and it's really important for us to be able to interpret the results properly. And then, when we do put that into a press release, to be able to provide a proper context so that people understand, what it is they're actually looking at and how we are interpreting it as well, what it means for the project.
Finally, Bob, tell us a little bit about the news flow that investors can expect as we move into the close of the third quarter and into the fourth quarter of this year.
Well, given that, we are getting results back I'd like to be in a position to be able to put out some drill results before too long. So maybe in the next few weeks, we might see something like that. We're still waiting for some more to come in right now, and so that's one thing. A lot of the rest of the work that we're doing is more along the lines of the permitting that's required, for the extension of the power line, for the water license that we'll ultimately need, and those types of things. So a lot of it is kind of background type of thing that, I'll be able to put out just project updates on that, but it's not necessarily, super newsworthy, I guess you could say, but it's still very important for the project. So that's kind of in the near term, maybe the next month or two. But as we get farther along, I'm hoping by September, October timeframe, we will be able to commence with a surface drilling program. And so I'll be able to talk about that, what we're actually targeting, where we're drilling, why, so that'll be an important step as well. And then, of course, once that gets started, and that could very well overlap with the underground program, and then we'll have results coming, from both of those programs. And then all of that drilling will ultimately lead us into a resource estimate that will. We'll do that internally at the start, and then that will lead us into preliminary mine plan and ultimately a production decision, which right now we're hoping that we might be able to get to that point by the end of the year or certainly early in Q1. And go from there. I mean, once we make the production decision, I mean, that's going to be a really key event, a really key milestone, because that will basically tell us that we have all the information that we need to actually pull the trigger, spend the capex to rehabilitate the plant and everything, and get this mine up and running again. So that'll be the big one that we're ultimately working towards.
Well, we look forward to watching you guys continue to make progress. In the meantime, though, Bob, thanks very much for joining us today to talk us through the latest.
Okay, thanks very much, Alistair.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.